5 to go. Lewis has been awesome. Let's it go.
Inbounds Turner, left side of the backcourt. Turner across the timeline, throws it from high on the right.
He hit it
just inside of half court.
Lane's on the other wing. Bang!
Oh! Sent it in, Jerome!
College basketball! This is March Madness!
Oh, no, they didn't. No, they didn't. Rest in peace, Coach Norman Dale, the great Gene Hackman, Hoosiers. I know many of us basketball fans went and watched that movie the moment that we heard the news. I know I did. I'm Timmy Hall, your college basketball friend. Evil Bald Colin is doing stadium series things. Mm. He's controlling the booth for the Columbus Blue Jackets Red Wings game at the Shoe. So he's out for this one. Rhyme time, Jacob Reimer. I don't think he's ever going to be out. What's going on, man?
We are on the eve of March.
How about it?
Can we believe that? Music's getting louder.
We're there. CBS jingles are there.
Oh, yes.
Very sad, though. And, you know, I don't know how much is going to get updated with the story, with the weird story of how Gene and his wife and dog were found. But,
yeah,
my goodness, I was actually watching another one of Gene Hackman's sports movies with my son last night. Started it, at least, because I don't know why. He's not the biggest Hoosiers guy. I get it's got some age to it.
Yeah, that's
fair. I think he might be able to grow into it because we do have some memories of having some fun at the actual Hoosier gym. I've talked about the gym many, many times in Knightstown, Indiana. It's the best roadside stop that I've ever seen, that ever existed, especially for a basketball fan. But we were watching The Replacements, where Keanu Reeves plays Shane Falco, Ohio State quarterback. Gene Hackman's the coach, the football coach in that one.
He's perfect role for a coach.
He is.
He really is.
He just has it. And his role in Hoosiers is just, it's basically a perfect film that just captures what small town basketball is and David versus Goliath in an open tournament, which it couldn't be further from reality, especially in Ohio, that just added divisions, I think. I think they added divisions to high school hoops. There's 7 now.
I think that sounds
crazy.
Right.
So you're no longer the state champs. You're a state champion, one of many state champs. But, oh, what a deal. You're wearing the shirt today, too. Yeah. Thank you.
I got the I'll Make It shirt on from the quote from Jimmy Chitwood.
That's from the gym. Someone got that from the Hoosier gym.
Yeah, we've had this conversation. I've never been there before. Which,
when are you going to fix that?
Hopefully this summer. We'll see what we can do.
Why wait till the summer?
Because right now we got basketball going on.
I know, but it's just a hop, skip, and a jump.
I know.
It's like 2 hours. You don't even have to go all the way to Indianapolis. It's not even that far.
This is true. It's in the works, so I'll get on it. We need to make it happen for sure. But another great line from the movie, from Gene, is where they get the foul out, and he says, "My team is on the floor," because he's not putting in his fifth guy because he wasn't listening.
Oh, my God.
Wasn't doing what Norman Dale wanted him to do.
How many times are we going to pass it, guys? 4.
Yeah.
4 passes. I want you to set the offense up. I want to see that ball passed around before somebody takes a look.
And just walks up and just starts drilling them.
Starts chucking them.
And Norman Dale wasn't having it.
Nope, he wasn't. Coach, need another player. My team's on the floor. Mm-hmm. It's great.
Yeah.
And everyone in the gym is just sort of looking at each other, and you know he's kind of like dying on the vine. And everybody in the town hates him.
He's got his little pad, and he's like, oh, yeah, flipping it in the air like, okay, yeah, I hear you.
Yep, he's got the little notepad. Yep. And he gains the respect of just a few of the townspeople with a move like that. We're going to play the right way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even care if you're away, gets a couple of points, gets us on a run. We're playing within the structure that we're all going to agree to play with here. So I had to bring some Hoosier things to the table here for the segment, for the opening segment in honor of Gene Hackman. One of our favorite speeches from the movie when they're getting ready to go out and play that state championship game.
Forget about the crowds, the size of the school,
their fancy uniforms and remember what got you here. Focus on the fundamentals that we've gone over time and time again. And most important, don't get caught up thinking about winning or losing this game. If you put your effort and concentration into playing to your potential, to be the best that you can be, I don't care what the scoreboard says at the end of the game, in my book, we're going to be winners. Okay?
That might not have been before the state title, now that I'm hearing that back. That was, I think, going into the regional championship.
I think that's
because it was
right,
to
yeah.
get to Indianapolis.
Mm-hmm.
It was to get to, back then it was just called Butler Fieldhouse.
Yeah.
It was not named after Hinkle at that point in time.
I tell you what, if that doesn't get you fired up to go play a basketball game and try to advance and win the state tournament, I don't know what does. That's up there with what we've heard from Rick Pitino as of late. Without the
profanity.
Yeah, without the profanities.
You know Norman Dale.
Oh, no.
I know they didn't do it in the movie, but you know that coach.
Oh,
just
yes.
Know, that was a coach that slugged somebody.
Yeah.
Right? Like he basically just decided to go to the service for 20 years because he was ostracized as a basketball coach.
Right.
Even back then in the day, he just straight up slugged a player that apparently he had an issue with. And I'm sure he would have been a profanity-laced coach. This is your gym measurements line.
Mm-hmm.
Now we get to Hinkle, Butler Fieldhouse in Indy for the state championship and one of the great scenes.
What is it? 15 feet.
15 feet. Strap, put Ollie on your shoulders. How far?
10 feet.
10 feet. I think you'll find it's exact same measurements as our gym back in Hickory. Okay, let's get dressed for practice.
Just got to cool him down. Just got to calm him down. Just a lot of seats out there, gentlemen. It's the same court, same dimensions. It's great.
So get ready for practice.
My dad must have quoted that scene or at least would talk about that scene in almost any time we would go into a bigger gym. Didn't matter what it was for, just as spectators. We're going to an NBA game. It's like 15 feet, 10 feet.
Mm-hmm.
Same exact court.
Yeah, this is how I was put onto it, was from my dad, and he's gotten me on Hoosiers. I think this is something that Jack will get into, because I think it's just something that can get passed down generations, because, it's in my top five of movies all time, for sure.
Not just sports movies. It's in your top five. You're a basketball guy.
Yeah, most of my top five is sports movies.
It's obviously in my top five sports movies. I would say it's right behind Field of Dreams for my number one.
Okay. Yeah,
and I'm a bigger basketball guy than a baseball guy, so that just tells you how true
Field of Dreams
just rings true, almost more so as a movie than just a baseball movie.
Yeah,
it's magical. What can you say?
Okay,
Hoosiers pretty magical too, and with the Jerry Goldsmith, the music. I think the music with Hoosiers from the beginning credits all the way through, like when he's taking that drive. Just down small town. And it hits my family harder because my dad played high school basketball in Indiana.
Yeah.
You go to some of those small towns or drive around. Just I have a picture in my basement that is just of a basketball hoop attached to a barn. Like, that's all it is. It's a
that's
photo.
Incredible.
It's a photo, but I consider it art in my own way.
It is 100%.
I don't know where it is. But in my mind, it's somewhere in Indiana. It's just a basketball hoop attached to a barn. My grandfather put a hoop onto his barn in Maryville, Indiana, when I would go to his house all through childhood on visits.
So you bring up Field of Dreams. There was MLB games at the Field of Dreams stadium or where they had it.
Mm-hmm.
Can we get a college basketball game in the Hoosier gym?
They play games there.
They do.
They do play
at the high school level.
They play an all-star game there. And when you go to the gym, you'll be able to walk down the back there. They still have the locker room. It's just like it was in the movie. It's a Dungeness locker room. It's downstairs.
Mm-hmm.
You get to whip open the doors, just like Gene Hackman does in the movie when he says, "Welcome to Indiana basketball." You get to go through that spot. And on the back, behind the stage, they have box scores of all of these Indiana all-star games that were played there. And, there's Greg Oden, Mike Conley, Eric Gordon.
Let's put the McDonald's All-American game there.
Maybe so.
Yeah.
I like where your head's at, though, with the Field of Dreams type of game. Hockey should do something like a Mystery Alaska type of thing.
I just don't think it's the NBA's kind of thing to do. and like Hoosiers,
college basketball.
You think Indiana Hoosiers? Just I'm
okay. Could you imagine
Purdue, Indiana?
No, I was just going there. Just imagine.
Great vibes think alike.
Just imagine. Yeah. What if you did an extra game? What if you did a November game? And it didn't. Yeah. It was like
for charity.
It was like a non-Big Ten game.
Yeah.
But it's still a regular season game.
A charity Indiana exhibition Purdue. Game. We just put us on this. We'll get this. We'll get the ball rolling.
Whatever we got to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. If it's got to even just be exhibition and not even a regular season game. Right.
Right.
Yeah. My God. How great would that be?
That would be incredible.
All right, guys. We got another thing to worry about. We're putting a college basketball game in the Hoosier gym. What are we seeing in there? 800 maybe?
Yeah.
Maybe 1,000?
Maybe.
Yeah. I don't know. It's pretty awesome, though. And I don't know if it's a full college basketball length court.
Yeah.
Might be losing. But it doesn't matter. The dimensions are the dimensions.
That's why we do an exhibition
there. Use the line that's there. Yeah.
To use the gym for a very big purpose.
Yeah. Obviously, you could put the three-point line. You could do that quickly and put that one up there. Or just go, if it's exhibition, just have it be the line that's there.
Exactly.
The old high school three-point line.
I mean, they're shooting
guys
from half court anyways.
Yeah. John Mobley will be 13 for 16 from that three-point line, right? No, but we're going to get you caught up with everything that happened this week as we are about to turn the page to March. We had to start there.
Of course.
Had to start there. Coach Norman Daly's gone. Reimer's wearing the I'll Make It Jimmy Chitwood shirt today. So for all the Hoosiers fans out there, the movie fans, not the Indiana Hoosiers.
Right.
That one is for you. Getting you guys caught up. Boy, we had some crazy games middle of the week that we will highlight. You guys are locked into Mad About Hoops.
All college basketball, all the time. You're listening to Mad About Hoops, The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Timmy Hall, Jacob Reimer, Rhyme Time, your college basketball friends. Evil Bald Colin sitting this one out. He's got a lot going on, a lot on his plate this week. Again, cool types of games. We're just talking about throwing a real game or an exhibition game in the Hoosier gym. Whatever kind of ideas we can come up with like that to grow the game or to do neat things, unique things, we're all for that. So hit us up on Twitter and X at Mad About Hoops if you guys have any ideas of your own, things that you would like to see, and we can get those messages and put them into the next podcast. But we certainly appreciate you guys that have been listening for a long time. We're very excited for this month. We see that calendar turn to March. And
oh, yeah. We're listening Saturday morning. Oh.
We're in March.
We're
baby.
In March.
We in March. We here right now.
Yeah.
We here. You know what I think of? It's the famous LeBron meme. You picturing it? The most famous LeBron meme. Where he's
There's
at the pool.
Lots.
No, he's at he's at the pool. He's looking up and the sun is shining. And
yeah.
I can't believe this is my life. The selfie and the smile. When I drove into work on the day that we're recording this. The sun is shining.
Oh, yes.
We got a little breeze out there. I had the garage door open. I'm cleaning out my garage. The basketball was in the bin there. I started doing ball handling drills, Jacob.
I love it.
Would you believe it? And I was dribbling two basketballs at the same time as well.
Were you doing the Pistol Pete drill?
I can't. I did try the Pistol Pete drill. For people that don't know what
Throwing
Jacob's talking
the
about,
legs.
There's a Pistol Pete drill that, for whatever reason, got onto an Instagram algorithm. It's from like the 70s. Isn't it Red Auerbach?
Yeah, I think so.
It's Red and Pistol.
Mm-hmm.
My God, the basketball with those two guys. And he takes the basketball like from in front of his waist and throws it as hard as humanly possible.
Yeah.
Back between his legs, to which, if you don't know what you're doing, your nuts are by bio. Just gone.
Yeah.
Your nuts are obliterated.
Yeah.
And he catches it behind his back. And he is like throwing this thing 50 miles an hour in between his legs. No, I wasn't doing that, but I have tried it at a slower speed.
Okay.
And was able to make the catches.
I need to bring a basketball because I can do it. I need to bring a basketball in here now to just show everybody. Throw off my
You
my
do
skill.
The drill?
Okay, I haven't in a minute, but I can do it.
And you get pretty aggressive with it?
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. I love your nonchalant confidence.
Uh-huh,
oh yeah, yeah. Yeah. No
I got
big deal.
I got that on lock.
What was your position when you played?
Looked
like a three.
Yeah,
to me
about
a small
that.
Forward.
In high school, I was like a stretch four. Got to college, was probably a two or a three.
Wow, stretch four must be nice.
Yeah.
What was the weakest part of your game?
Probably
don't
dribbling.
Don't say rebounding.
Probably dribbling.
Oh,
no,
ball
not
handling?
Rebounding because I was so focused on boxing out.
The technique.
Yeah.
Right?
And I was just clearing it out, letting somebody else get it.
Yeah, you strike me as a fundamental guy.
Oh, yeah.
But again, even practicing the fundamentals, ball handling is a skill.
Exactly.
And rebounding, yeah. Not as, which is why we always say that, right?
Yeah.
It's not as much, it's not that there isn't skill. There are things like you listen to Bill Russell. Like if you listen to Bill Russell talk mm-hmm. and break down basketball, he'll talk about angles, right?
Right.
And knowing his opponent. This is where like the deep scouting, deep studying of your opponent comes into play. That's what's great about all sports, right? Not
yeah.
just basketball. Those who want to go that extra mile can really become legendary because they care and they're working and thinking it at a different level. But he's talking about spin of the basketball, who gets better rotation on their shot, knowing where your opponent typically misses it, and then where to be to better rebound the basketball. It's not going to work 100% of the time,
yeah.
but obviously if you do that and you stick to it, you'll wind up becoming one of the better rebounders if you're already one of the taller guys and more athletic guys. You combine that together, and you got a great player.
So this is not to rebounding, but it's to scouting and knowing and everything. Remember back at the beginning of the year, Mark Pope, when they played
for Kentucky.
Duke,
yeah.
And there's the clip that's going around of calling out that Cooper Flagg is going to go to his left
yes.
and spin back to
yes.
the middle.
Yes.
I'll take an OAB right there for the strip. It's exactly what
exactly
happened.
Exactly what it is. It's just being ready for one particular play that could be the difference in,
yeah.
in a win or a
you
loss.
You understand Cooper Flagg likes to spin to get to his right?
Uh-huh.
Okay, we're going to be there for the help.
It's almost like when we played the clip in last week's podcast when Mick Cronin was sarcastically throwing his guys under the bus.
Yep.
I guess we didn't discuss that Dawson Garcia from Minnesota likes to spin back
yeah.
to his left.
Exactly.
I guess we'll just have two guys on his right side and he'll just turn around and lay it in. I guess that's on the coach, right?
Yeah.
Speaking of Kentucky, some of the best from this week in college basketball. Oh, man, take a listen to this. Kentucky on the road at Oklahoma. That was quite an end sequence.
Shot clock is off, and here we go. 10 seconds remaining. Oway on Miles. Ortega throws it up and in. Kentucky back in front. Fears the other way. Timer down to three. Kentucky finds a way on the road.
And then that one got contested because of who blocked the shot for Kentucky?
I think it was Owe.
No, it wasn't Owe. It was one of the other bigs. Maybe it was Ortega.
Or he got like a little piece of it, and then I think either Garrison then just continued the swat.
Yeah, it was Garrison, I think,
yeah.
that finished the play. But either way, It was not met kindly by the Oklahoma players when Garrison got in the face of Fears after he missed the
yeah.
shot. And then, look, that I almost side with Oklahoma in that regard. Like, you can win the game, you can block my shot, but
celebrate with your team.
Don't in my gym
yeah.
come up to me and then try to little boy me when I just played my heart out and I'm driving the floor trying to hit a winning shot. Look, you blocked a good play. Like,
exactly.
I can say that, but if you want to take it there, then we're probably going to have some problems. We're going to have some issues. So fully side with Oklahoma there, trying to still have some pride and not be shown the stuff that way, but amazing win for Kentucky, and Owe was sensational down
the stretch. Yeah, that was already an emotional game, which kind of led to the antics that happened after, because Owe transferred from Oklahoma,
mm-hmm.
and
yep.
to see him go out and score the last 18 points of the game for Kentucky in the last 8.5 minutes, straight up taking over the game, and then, yeah, having the game-winning bucket, getting in on the defensive stop at the end, too. That was just
both
incredible.
Ends of the floor. Yeah, he had the initial defense on the drive and kind of got a. It was like a double block, honestly.
Yeah,
it was a double block, but it wasn't him. It was Garrison that then went over
yeah.
to Fears of Oklahoma, who missed the shot and just got right in his face and flexed. And I'm like, that ain't gonna work,
mm-hmm.
man. Like after we lose this devastating game that we needed to keep building our tournament resume, I mean, that put Oklahoma at 17-11 with the loss and 4-11 in conference play. And it's a struggle for Porter Moser and OU right now. It's just he's hot, right?
Oh, yeah.
Hot in the bad way. His seat's on fire.
And they started undefeated. They were think they were 10-0 at least. Maybe got to 12. I know they got the double digits.
They had a hot start. Yeah,
yeah.
they did.
They looked
really
great in the battle for Atlantis. And it's crazy to think a team that is 4-11 in conference play. Is that's right, 4-11. that is on the bubble and looked at. If they win that game against Kentucky, they're probably on the inside of the bubble looking great.
Just incredible games all over the place. Two in the Big Ten, two that involved teams from the state of Michigan.
Yep.
This one, the Wolverines, this is how it goes, right? You're at home against Rutgers. Rutgers is just struggling mightily. And that's life in the Big Ten, trying to win all these games late to touch up a championship season if Michigan can still get it.
Finds Wolf to Burnett for the win.
Just when you can hear the buzzer going off, it's
and the ball
makes
goes
it so much better.
Net.
Yeah, just makes it so much better. An actual classic, true-to-life buzzer beater. And you talk about buzzer beaters, I got to take you to College Park, Maryland in a 55-55 game. More breakdown on why this was even able to happen, because it really pissed me off.
Oh, but same.
Good. I'm glad it did. We'll get to that. But the shot and the win, here it is.
Gillespie for three. Goal or no. Holloman looks the clock. Half court for the win.
Oh!
Oh, my goodness.
Love it.
Holloman from half court to win it on the road.
It's Maryland for the...
Oh, my God.
Just the sound, you can hear it go through the net. It just... I can see it in my head still. It's envisioned in my brain. It's almost with all these buzzer beaters, like the universe knows March is near.
I just love, I love that call too.
Oh my gosh, it
was
incredible.
Was that Kugler? I know the voice is recognizable. I know this game was on.
I think so.
This was on Big Ten Network. It was the triple header night.
I know Hummel was there.
Just to hear them living it up. It's why I love when it was Jim Nance, Grant Hill, Bill Raftery, when Jalen Suggs hit that shot in the pandemic Final Four. They were just like kids calling that shot.
It was all raw emotion.
Three of them were just all yelling, like, oh!
Yeah.
Like to hear Jim Nance lose it like that. He's as buttoned up as it comes.
You think
Vineyard
Masters.
Vines deal. Yeah, golf, Masters. Yeah, like Jim Nance is going to go off like that. I'm going to hear that one again.
Gillespie for three.
It's just great.
Yeah.
It's great. It's pure.
Yeah. Raw emotion. My jaw was dropped when it happened. I couldn't. I was
over at my mom and dad's
I was
place.
Motionless.
Had some dinner and we were, all three of us. Just, that's crazy.
Yeah.
So, Gillespie.
Oh my gosh.
Trash.
What are we doing there?
Just a garbage possession down the stretch. You have to know better. You didn't have a timeout. You got the ball and went quickly. Mm-hmm. You got a stop. You got the stop that you needed. You tied the game. You came back. Michigan State slopping the ball away. You've now got a chance to win this thing. And I believe you're still in the Big Ten championship race if you put this win away.
I think they would have been one game
right
out,
there,
maybe?
One game out. So you get the stop. 42 seconds left. Play hard defense. Get the stop. No timeouts. You're going the other way. You go to the basket. I don't even care if it's a jump shot.
Get that to the rim.
If you get anything that's inside the three-point line, get inside the three-point line, then maybe hit a step back to get some separation, to get a clearer look. You take a step back from 30 feet from the left wing, and there's too much time left? Awful. It's a tie game.
Now,
I can see if you were down by one or down by two and you wanted to get a good three. This didn't work, Jacob.
I can also see where he's coming from, because a three, a long three like that, you think a high rebound, not one that just goes straight off the rim right to a player in the Michigan State's hands. So it was a horrible bounce for him to begin with. But still, I'm with you on, there's 5 seconds left. You have five dribbles where you can get to the rim. Why not use them? Don't leave any more time for Michigan State to do a shot like that.
I have no idea what was happening there. We're going to take another look. We'll look around the sport some more as teams are trying to get their NCAA tournament resumes brushed up. And also, I got a good one for you for this week in college basketball sound. We could maybe dedicate the segment to him because we've heard from this coach before. But that's coming up. You guys are locked into Mad About Hoops.
One of these men is evil and bald. The other one is Timmy Hall, swinging his meat bat. You're listening to Mad About Hoops on The Fan.
Timmy Hall, Jacob Reimer, Rhyme Time this week with you guys on Mad About Hoops, your favorite college basketball podcast. We say hello to everybody listening on the replay, on The Fan on Saturday morning, the only place to get the unfiltered unedited podcast is anywhere you get your audio. And subscribe.
On March 1st.
On March 1. Yeah, baby. Rest in peace, Gene Hackman. Spent the first segment talking about our boy Gene, Coach Norman Dale. My team is on the floor. Mm-hmm. So that was good. That's
10 feet.
Yeah, 10 feet, 15 feet. Shooter. Lay off the sauce, man. We need you. We need you. We got to run that picket fence again. So before we get to some of the sounds in college basketball, rhyme time, other things, other teams that you're curious about. I know the Johnnies still doing their thing, is still looking great under Coach Rick Pitino. Anything else out there that struck you this week?
North Carolina extended Hubert Davis.
That's true. That was big.
2030.
We haven't gotten a North Carolina minute from you in quite some time.
Well, there hasn't been a ton, really. Well, they've looked good as of late. But yeah, North Carolina extended Hubert Davis throughout 2030.
What do you think about that? I think that's
questionable. Of everything with the contract, it makes sense because it was talked about in July, which fresh off ACC Coach of the Year, you were a one seed, and when you've already been to a national title game, that part all makes sense. It was agreed on in December, but one thing to keep an eye on with it is the buyout, because
that's always the thing.
I think after this year, he's still firmly on the hot seat. Like, if you don't have another good year with the GM, they've got a full front office coming into Chapel Hill next year.
Yeah. We know we've heard him talk about how they're hiring a general manager. Yeah. A lot of teams are going to follow suit if they haven't already. But you're right. This is North Carolina basketball. I haven't read over the contract, but it doesn't matter if you're extended to 2030 or 2035. If you go two straight years missing the NCAA tournament, you're out. You're
100%.
Gone. Yeah.
100%.
And this is going to be your second in 3 years if they don't get it done. This would be your last slip up.
Well, and don't talk about on that national championship run to the title game was they were on the bubble most of that year as well.
They had 10 losses that year.
They've really only had one really good year, which was off his ACC Coach of the Year regular season title and a one seed. So I'm cool with it now just because I know what he's still capable of if he recruits right, gets the right pieces. Just the roster build after last offseason was not what it was supposed to be, I think. And so, he's still on the hot seat for next year for me. If it's another bad year, that buyout's going to look pretty good.
Yeah, and it's really crazy, too. I don't love the overall record a lot for what a North Carolina coach should be looking like. He's close to 700. He's just under, but the ACC record, really not bad at all. 701 as it stands right now, 54-23 in the middle of his fourth year. But as college basketball fans know, that's not the typical ACC record that it once was.
Well, especially what it is now.
Because what the league is, you're almost expected to be at minimum at that or better if you're North Carolina or Duke.
And this ACC, this current state where you're maybe going to get three or four teams in, you got to be top two being North Carolina, if not one.
Yeah.
And with this Duke team, you have to be second. And right now, I think they're sixth. That's just not cutting it in the down year of the ACC.
We noticed this week as well because we were talking about Cameron Indoor, speak of the devil with Duke. How many college basketball venues have you guys seen out there where the baskets actually are suspended from the rafters above, like a high school gym? You almost take a look around.
Mm-hmm.
They're always just stanchions, NBA style baskets. They're just actual baskets that are on the floor. And I get that because the game is played in bigger venues. Even some of the smaller venues, they're still big enough to where they're, eight. It surprises me, honestly, that Cameron Indoor has baskets that are suspended from above.
Yep.
But Colorado, the Buffaloes,
it dawned on me
the Jayhawks survived
on Monday. Yeah.
That's one too.
I mean, Maui, they
that doesn't count.
I know, but
it's a high school gym.
Yeah,
that one
true.
Doesn't count. So
there's not many in college.
I can't think.
I completely forgot that Colorado does that. And
no.
I think it's so cool.
Well, how many times are you actually watching a Colorado basketball game?
What, they've got one
when
win.
They're at home.
They've got one win in conference play, and it came from Baylor over the weekend.
And again, that was a too close for comfort game for the Kansas Jayhawks. AJ's. And one of the recent projections we saw, it's not there anymore, but we had an 11-6 Ohio State-Kansas game in a Joe Lunardi bracket.
How would you have been feeling for that?
I don't even know. I'd be pulling for the Buckeyes, to be honest.
Yeah.
Because of where their program is and what they need to get accomplished, it would be a chance for them to win and get something done in Jake Diebler's first year, which we're going to talk about coming up here in the last segment. But I'm trying to see
Hunter Dickinson looked good in that Colorado game.
Yeah. I mean, that's...
He's playing well now.
That's what you have to get from him.
Yeah.
Right? That's what you have to get.
Because AJ Storr ain't doing it.
Yeah. Kansas is now in a 6-11 game against Nebraska. The old Kansas-Nebraska act.
Mm-hmm.
That's a perfect one.
Did you see what
classic Big 12 battle
Andy Katz put out?
Tell me. This
would have me in a roller coaster. I don't even know if I would want to even watch. He had in the first four playing in Dayton, North Carolina, and Ohio State.
Ooh. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. UNC I would the Buckeyes.
I would go and just wear all black. Because...
That's an 11 seed matchup
for
you.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Honestly, now thinking about it.
It's not that far-fetched.
Yeah, wouldn't be shocked.
It really isn't. Yeah.
Would not be shocked if that happened.
It could very much be Dayton for Ohio State if they're going to get in. I want to play a couple of clips. Not as many from this week in college basketball sounds, but this one kind of surprising from Kentucky coach Mark Pope, unrelated to anything with their big win on the road over Oklahoma. Someone asked him to what you and I gathered to be just sort of a toss-up question about how fast has the year gone. You know, you're the new coach at Kentucky, first year. We've asked Diebler those kind of questions. Boy, how fast has a year gone here from when you were named the head coach? But Pope took it to a different place, like a bigger picture thing about college basketball in general.
Yeah. Yeah. So the season flies by every year. It's like it's just not long enough. I just think it's time to expand our season out to a 40-game season. Like, it should be a 40-game season, especially with all the change and the turnover and the lack of continuity of teams. And also with revenue sharing and everything else, it doesn't make any sense that we're at a 31-game season. It makes no sense. And so I'm a massive advocate, maybe the only one in the world, but we need to expand the season to 40 games.
It's really interesting how he brought that up. And a lot of people are thinking, well, shoot, the season's already 40 games. I think he's talking about regular season games and then your conference tournament and then the NCAA tournament. And that's a big difference. You're talking about you could possibly play 50 when it's all said and done in his world. But the points are also there.
Yeah,
they are.
I mean, I'm all for more basketball, but also,
in this case, it's more basketball, but it's money too to help, you know, pay the bills for all this.
Well, and if you're thinking about getting these guys to the next level, like we've kind of already seen it in football with the expanded playoff, they're playing an NFL type schedule if they're going to go all the way. And so this getting it to,
and that's not even close to an NBA type
right
schedule
now,
if
we're
they
at
play
halfway.
40 or 50.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I get it. If you're wanting to get them ready for the next level, that part of that makes sense. But still, it's a lot of wear and tear. You still got to go to class. I don't know how much guys are actually doing that, but you still got to get the grades and everything.
To each their own.
Yeah.
I still like to think that
individuals. We're worried about this with the West Coast trips
mm-hmm.
that teams are making in the Big Ten.
And so you're looking at more NIL events. Like, you'd be talking about, you know, more non-conference opportunities, more multi-team event opportunities in mm-hmm. his world. And then just filling out the conference schedule as well, because the conference schedule is so big, you could add another handful of games there.
Yeah,
so you get more home and aways.
Sometimes you don't play a team
right,
at
twice.
All. Sometimes you don't play both home and away. So, yeah, I think that'd be a cool aspect of it.
Yeah, that's really interesting to actually hear somebody talk about that. I'd not really thought about that.
Same.
In really quite some time, but as I've always loved having conference tournament games and then NCAA tournament games
mm-hmm.
and having that idea that a team could go 40-0 to be
thought Kentucky was going to do it,
which I don't think is ever
Gonzaga.
I want to be clear. There was a minute there But now, in this era that we're living in, I don't think any college basketball team could ever go undefeated.
Yeah, well, you're seeing now with the players' era, which is a new way of getting NIL for schools.
Yeah.
There's more games there. You're getting more competition in that. And then, yeah, you've got to go on the gauntlet of a stretch. I mean, like, look at teams when they go out and play Maui, and then they come back for the ACC-SEC Challenge, mm-hmm. Big East, Big 12 battle, and they're jet-lagged. Like, that's a thing. That's going to happen. I don't see it going 40-0 either.
All right, here's your guy, Dan Hurley.
Oh, yes.
Dan, we got to get some time for UConn head coach Dan Hurley from this week.
They're
in
on
Sounds.
The bubble, too.
I mean, I think the press has been an asshole to me the whole year. I thought you meant there's people acting far worse than me. What was that? I didn't know what you were talking about there. I'm sorry.
All right, ha, ha, ha. Maybe the sound's not as good as I thought it was. But asked if he thinks that he's handling the press better now. That was his response to it.
Mm-hmm.
Such a dad joke.
Yeah.
My God. But at least he showed a little bit of personality there.
Yeah.
And he's not screaming at somebody.
Even after, probably a tough game?
Yeah.
I don't know who that was after. I think maybe Georgetown.
Yeah, I think so.
But, yeah, I like to see that side of coaches a little bit, but... Man, that's tough.
All right, what can the Ohio State Buckeyes do down the stretch here to seal the deal on an NCAA tournament bid? We're talking about that. You guys are locked into Mad About Hoops.
All the college basketball talk you can handle. You're listening to Mad About Hoops, the Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Always love a good Saturday in college basketball. The whole weekend's awesome. Timmy Hall, Jacob Reimer, Rhyme Time, Evil Bald Colin is getting ready for a big Saturday event. Really going to be an awesome one, too. I won't be there. I will miss it. I'm taking my son to a card show in northern Ooh. Indiana. It's
you,
in the South Bend area.
Okay.
Trust me, I looked to see if either Valpo or... Notre Dame had a home game. They do not. I'm always thinking about how can I get college basketball
exactly.
into this
That's
trip.
It's always on our minds.
Into this trip. And it's always on my mind. I do need to look at maybe some obscure schools. Like maybe, so I'm going to Shipshawana, Indiana. That's where this card show is. It's somewhere, it's in northern Indiana, somewhere near South Bend. I haven't quite mapped out how I'm going there, but I'm going to go through Fort Wayne. So maybe there's a Fort Wayne game.
Yeah.
That's Saturday.
Where's
That's what are they, the Mastodons?
Where's Ooey-Pooey at
Fort
in
Wayne?
Relation?
Ooey-Pooey would be
There's that.
Indianapolis. That's IUPUI. That's why they're Ooey-Pooey.
Yeah.
Indiana U.
I guess
Purdue,
I've never really
U,
known what it is. Indy. I just go Ooey-Pooey all the time.
Ooey-Pooey. Ooey-Pooey. The way that the common man says that. By the way, in honor of March Madness, their Pizza Madness bracket – I heard them on their show Friday as I was leaving the studio to come back to record. It's open for biz.
Okay.
So the voting is underway, which is awesome. I mean, a 64 pizza place bracket.
That's incredible.
For pizza dominance in Columbus. That's what you love to see. I love seeing all the – and I love how golf has done it with the match play. I love – brackets are just the best.
So is this just going to be where fans can come on and just vote for what pizza place they like more?
What it is.
Okay.
Yeah. They did the four regions, one seed to 16 seed.
64 teams.
Yeah.
We didn't have a play-in, 68
no,
teams.
No, we didn't have – maybe next year we can do pizza play-ins. Now, that's one that they actually will have to expand the bracket.
Yeah.
I know our guy Papa Rothstein, he doesn't ever want to see Sincerely America, right?
Yeah.
Don't ever, ever expand the NCAA tournament.
He's going to throw a riot in Central Park if it happens.
It will. It will happen eventually.
I will try to attend if it does.
I will too.
Yeah.
It's absurd. It's ridiculous. Yeah. If you can't get in, sorry, you didn't make it.
Yeah.
It's a great event. We don't need to – I almost think they're going to double it. Where it'll be an entire extra
Gosh.
Round. I know. It will take something out of it. But a team that's trying to get into the NCAA tournament with the format as it is today, with some play-in rounds in Dayton, which is a nice touch, which we've been living with for quite some time, and it's worked, the Ohio State Buckeyes. Mm-hmm. They got the much-needed win.
Huge.
Much-needed win late against USC. How are you with the defense? I was a little bit more okay because I think sometimes games are just played the way the game's going to be played.
Yeah.
And that was an offensive game from Jump Street, and Ohio State was very good with their offense.
Yeah.
And they outdid
for
USC.
Sure. I wish it was better down the stretch for sure because, like, you have that big halftime lead. Just keep the foot on the gas and close them out early. Don't even get it down to
they were
where
up by 15 a
they
couple
tie
times.
It where they tie it up with a minute and you have to go to a Devin Royal and one to hang on. So I think that's where I'm at. Just the late game. It's a continuous theme throughout the year. The late game execution, whether it's offensively or defensively, I think that's where they could get got.
Yeah,
on this closing stretch,
they let a team shoot 60%. They let a team shoot 60% and they won. They won 87-82. So
it's crazy.
There's a thing now with this Ohio State team where we know that they're deeply flawed. We know what they are, right?
Yeah.
They're a good team. They're not a great team. Okay. Like that they're 16-13 and they're two games under 500 in conference. We know what they are. They're fighting like hell to try to punch a ticket to the big dance. That's basically what their ceiling is this year for me. Is punch a ticket to the big dance, even if that's Dayton. And then when you get there, you just don't know what can happen. I do think they're capable of winning a couple games.
Which, in Diebler's first year, that is huge.
Would be huge. Just to win a game, even if it's a Dayton game, would be huge.
Yeah. My expectation coming into this year with Diebler first year as a head coach, just get to the tournament. And they're in position. They've got a tough close here with Nebraska and Indiana, who they've already been got by. And it'll be tough. I'm assuming that they're not going to win the Big Ten tournament. So
no, come on.
There's a chance to end up with 15 losses.
That's not even
rude
of you to say. There's no chance they're winning the Big Ten tournament with what they are right
now. It'd have
now.
To be like an NC State type. Not that's a bad comparison because NC State was on the border of firing Kevin Keats.
We got one of their coaches.
Yeah, but just that kind of run. Like, they're going to have to win a lot of games and a lot of days because they're going to be playing on that first day, more than likely.
Yeah, and you know, the other thing that stood out in that Ohio State-USC game is that I think when John Mobley hit a jumper with about 10 minutes to go, they didn't have, or Micah, I think Micah Parrish hit a three right after John did. So let me get my bearings straight because Micah hit the three as I'm looking at my chart. And I think it was just free throws for the Buckeyes until Devin Royal's winning play, which was great to see him because he had a look about him. Like, that was what you needed from Devin Royal.
Oh, yes.
He had an assertive look to him. This game was tied at 80. You felt it slipping away that you were going to blow this game. And
just give me the ball and get out the way.
That could not have been a better I'm going to score moment for Devin Royal.
There
and
was
you've
nothing
needed
stopping
that.
Him.
You've missed that.
Yeah, he's because I mean it's been Bruce and Micah and Mobley's been shooting the ball pretty well aside from that Northwestern game, but and they looked great in the game against. I mean, Micah and Bruce both had 20. Mobley had 18, and then Devin Royal ends up winning with the game winning bucket. That was huge for their depth to moving forward into this.
Well, Rhyme Time, I think they obviously would do well to win both of the regular season games. I don't think they're dead if they go 1-1.
I don't think
because the Big Ten tournament gives you so much, right?
Yeah.
It just comes to, of course, like if they go 1-1, they absolutely have to win something at the Big Ten tournament. They can't lose their first game. Then they're definitely out. If they win them both, they might still need to go 1-1 in the Big Ten tournament. So I think if they lose one here in the regular season, they have to win at least two in the Big Ten because it's about you're guaranteed a second loss because we agree they're going to lose another one in the Big Ten tourney. You're going to have potentially 15 losses, so you're going to have to get at least 19 wins.
Which I think that's the most ever that a team has gotten into the tournament
or
with.
Tied. Would it be the most?
Yeah.
14 is the record?
No, I think 15 is.
They would tie the record.
They would tie the record. Mm.
Yeah. So that's... And look, it's a different kind of year. And their resume is what it is. They have a chance to do
it. It's not going to be easy because, like, look what Ballo did against them last time. And Indiana's looked good.
Absolutely.
They just beat Purdue.
Going to Indiana, I don't even care if it's a bad Indiana team or a bad season. To be playing at Assembly Hall, possibly the last time they're going to see basketball in their gym for the season, it's not a good spot.
No.
You really have to win this Nebraska game at home. You cannot have a seventh loss against high major opponents on your home court.
Oh yeah,
that has to be fixed right away next year.
Oh,
you cannot lose this many games at home.
You got to stand firm and protect your home court. And yeah, it just hasn't been what was expected for being at home.
I think they're going to go 1-1.
I think
so too. In the regular season,
and
they're going to need to get a pair.
I think it's the Indiana game that's going to get them.
Yeah,
Ballo makes me nervous. Just like
he's
the
just
last
a big
game.
Big guy and hard to deal with.
Yeah.
And Bradshaw was back, but still, like, he didn't play a ton of minutes. And you know, how many rebounds did he have? There weren't really any rebounds to be had in this game because everybody was scoring so much. Mm-hmm. But he had one, right? In 11 minutes, 3 points, he had the 1-3. And, you know, Sean Stewart had,
got to stay out
a
of
nice
foul
offensive
trouble.
Game, but he can't stay out of foul trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what's got you excited for this weekend before we wind it down here?
So another awesome weekend with the SEC. Auburn's going to Rupp on Saturday. That's going to be a very loud game. I hope Kentucky's fully healthy for it, because if they're not, that's going to be trouble.
Put that on the old Mad About Hoops road trip meter. It's not that bad of a trip down to Lexington.
Yeah.
I still haven't done it.
I haven't either.
I've seen a game at the KFC Yum Center, have not gotten to see
and
a Kentucky game.
Especially a game of this magnitude, it's going to be rocking. I mean, they wanted game day there, and it's going to the Swamp instead for
Texas.
Yeah,
it's weird.
Texas A&M.
That Auburn-Kentucky will be one of the best basketball environments you have ever seen.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
It'll be unbelievable.
And we're not having college game day there.
Texas Tech is going on the road to Kansas.
I'm siding with Big Blue Nation on this one.
Big Blue Nation?
It's a blue blood against a new blood in Auburn. And wanting, it's the number one team in the country. It's going to be insanely loud. Yeah, come on.
Texas Tech, just heard me say, they lost a home game to Houston after they just achieved a top 10 ranking, which is a big deal for the Red Raiders. Played okay, lost to Houston, who's really good, and a lot of people should be thinking about them as a title threat.
Oh my gosh,
certainly
yes.
A Final Four threat. Like
it's the best shooting team Samson has had.
Has just had them in some kind of era, like since he's gotten them up and running, and it's impressive. But Tech's at Kansas this weekend, and you've got the Bama-Tennessee game as well.
Yeah, and then like I mentioned, A&M is at Florida, and A&M's lost two in a row.
It's gonna be fun, man.
Oh yes.
Well, Jacob, always appreciate it, man. We'll have Evil Bald Colin back here next week. Everybody, enjoy the basketball as we head in to the best month ever. March Madness, baby. It's Mad About Hoops.